excuse me for my attire tonight. I, for those who probably, I think everybody knows, I messed up my knee. And I have a smaller brace, and I got a bigger brace, but the bigger brace feels better at the end of the day than the smaller brace does, and I can't put my long pants over the bigger brace. So I called Father David and said, okay, it's either shorts and a collar or shorts and no collar, because it's really not appropriate for a priest in the CEC to wear shorts and his collar. It's just not appropriate. Our bishops have made that abundantly clear. So you have me in street attire tonight. And I just would like to thank each of y'all for being here for our final session on the Nicene Creed Unplugged. And I really appreciate Father Looker stepping up for me last Wednesday night and covering when I still could not walk. But I just want to praise the Lord and report that the doctor said that at this point in time, surgery is not needed, that he felt with some physical therapy, everything would be much better. And starting Thursday, on the 3rd, and then every day since then, it has continually got better because I've been doing what they said do. And I just started back to work this week, going into the office this week. And I'm still not working a full day because I'm still coming home and I'm icing it and I'm getting it elevated. But every day is much better, and I really appreciate all the prayers. I quite didn't know how to answer it. Kevin. I mean, the most honest comeback is, what golf game? Well, tonight is the last section of the Nicene Creed as we've broken it down. And tonight we're going to talk about one church, one baptism, forgiveness of sins, and life everlasting. And I got to tell y'all something. You know, there was some meat in here that I really grabbed hold of, like the whole teaching on Jesus and, you know, that he was God. He really was God. He wasn't just the Son of God. He was God. And then the teaching on the Holy Spirit was very exciting for me. The teaching about Christ descending and then ascending was very exciting for me. And I really thought that this last section would be kind of a letdown until I dug into it and had plenty of time to dig into it. Man, did I get excited about this stuff, and I hope it translates to you. In the Apostles' Creed, as we've been doing, is paralleling the two, showing where the differences are, because the Apostles' Creed was the template that they used to pen the Nicene Creed. The Apostles' Creed says, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. And the Nicene Creed says, and we believe in the Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and we look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Well, keep it up there. I'm sorry, I did that, but don't do that. You got to know when not to do it. You got to know which one isn't, Kevin. The noticeable differences are the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints. Instead, the Nicene Creed says one Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. Then the Apostles' Creed, notice that the Nicene Creed does not say communion of saints. And I'm going to share with you why I think that is later on. The Apostles' Creed says the forgiveness of sins. The Nicene Creed says we acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. Another nuance, another difference. And last but not least, the Apostles' Creed says the resurrection of the body and life everlasting. And the Nicene Creed says, and we look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Some of these are just very finite differences. They really don't matter. Others really matter. And that's what I hope to dig into tonight. Okay, Kevin. So, and go to the next one. All right. I broke it down into the first section of this, and we believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. That means the word holy means to be set apart. It doesn't mean to be righteous. We're going to talk about that. Holy means to be set apart, to be called out of. Okay? Catholic, simply stated, means universal. There's a lot more other implications there, but for our study purposes, we're going to stick with universal. And last but not least, apostolic. So the writers of the Nicene Creed thought it was very important to make sure that we believe, this is the glue that holds us together, a Catholic, a holy, a Catholic, and an apostolic church. Let's break down each one of these and see what they mean. Holy, set apart. Holiness has nothing to do with legalism. That's the first point I want to make. There are many religions out there. There are many different denominations of Christianity who believe that holiness is based on what you do and don't do, how you do what you do and what you don't do, what you wear when you're doing what you do or don't do, what you eat when you're doing what you or do what you don't do, or what you drink. And all this somehow adds up to holiness. That is not holiness. That could be holy living. You could set apart parts of your life to live wholly separate unto God. But doing those things don't make you holy. What makes you holy is the righteousness of Christ and by being covered by the blood of the Lamb. That is what makes you holy, not what you do or don't do. Legalism does not make you holy. In fact, it makes you pretty bitter and hard to get along with. I'm not talking to anybody here, but I'm sure you know people like that. They are so tied up in their Christian legalism, you don't even want to be around them. Because it's a litany. It's not what Christ has done for me. It's a litany of what you can't do now that you're a Christian. I don't know many people who want a part of that. I know I don't. My word says, I've been set free indeed. I am free. I'm not to be bound. Don't get me wrong, I'm not talking about a license to sin and grace will cover everything. I'm not talking about that. But what I am talking about is it's not, being a Christian is not a set of legalistic rules of don'ts. Don't. I mean, could you imagine raising your kids that way? Never tell them what they can do. Never tell them what they can enjoy. Just tell them what they can't have and what they can't do all the time. I bet you you'd be pretty upset if that was the story of your life, wouldn't you? Yes. I know my kids would have been. He's down on the front row. I get a free pick at him. To be holy means to be separate, to be called out from. Scripture tells us, we are strangers and aliens. We are not of this world. Now, Diane, here's the good news for you. If heaven's not a place maybe out there, up there somewhere that you've been going to all the way, guess what? In some mysterious way, you're already part of it. Because the kingdom of God through Christ Jesus was established on this earth in the church. And if you're in the church, you are in the kingdom of God on this earth that the kingdom of God does not know the difference between spirit and physical. So therefore, they are in fellowship and communion with you already. And we are in fellowship and communion with them. We just don't get it. Because we're not there yet. That's right. But they are. But they are. And so they get it. So to be holy means to be set apart, to be separate, to be called out from. Ecclesia, as I look at Father Looker waving at his child instead of correcting my Greek, the Greek word for the church is really based at a political word that meant citizenship. Ecclesia, root word, means citizenship. So when the New Testament writers were talking about the, how did they say it in the New Testament? Ecclesia. Thank you very much. Ecclesia, they were talking about the church. They were talking about the citizens of the kingdom of God on this earth. I just think that's powerful. I think that's exciting. And let's not forget Ephesians chapter 2, starting with verse 19. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens. But, okay, listen. I didn't write this. Paul did. But fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ himself as the chief cornerstone. We are members, people and members of God's household. Is God's household in heaven? Is God's household in heaven? Well, yeah. It is. And because we are part of the church, we are grafted into this. We are part of the citizenship of the kingdom of heaven. So when we say we believe in a holy church, I'm going to cut out the two middle words right now, but when we're saying we're part of a holy church, we are part of a church that is called to be separate, that is called to be a citizen of the kingdom of God on this earth. Wow. That's a powerful statement. We are called to be Catholic. Kevin, we're going to be Catholic now. We are called to be universal. Catholic, when it says the universal church, we are part of the DNA of the church of God, of the kingdom of God. We are part of the DNA. Now, for those of you like me who has driven my wife absolutely crazy while I've been home, on Netflix, I got 181 episodes of Law and Order from the very first one. From the very first one to the very last one. I've gone through 3 sergeants, 2 district attorneys, 4 assistant district attorneys, and I'm on my 5th set of detectives.
Is Lenny dead yet?
Lenny's not dead yet. I'm only in the 6th season. Lenny's not dead yet. But you know, they're always finding...
Let's pray for his name.
They're always finding, you know, they're always going to the lab and they're getting DNA evidence so they can tie a suspect. They find something under somebody's fingernail, a hair or a piece of skin, and through a DNA match, they can be 99.9% sure that those little cells that they found in that little thing matches that person's entire body. Okay. Diane, I know, honey. It's okay. That is what you are to the kingdom of God. You are that little piece of DNA that shows whose body you belong to. I just think that is profound. That what we mark and what the writers of the creed were saying here is everything we said before. If you believe all of this, then you are part of the Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. They were declaring that because they believed that the things that came before, the God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and all those things that we discussed, they believed that that belief in you is what made you a citizen or a member or a saint in the kingdom of God. Yes, I said it. We are saints in the kingdom. We might not act it every day, but we are saints in the kingdom of God. When you are Catholic, you are inclusive, dependent, and I had problems pronouncing this word. Non-secretarian. That means you had nobody to take your notes. Anyway. I'm going to read from the author because he really summed this up good. I thought he really summed it up good. And I wanted to share it with you the way he wrote it. And I really want you to pay attention to the very first one. Let him who has ears, let him hear what being apostolic means. What being Catholic means. I haven't got there yet. When we say the church is Catholic, there are several implications. First, it means that the church is inclusive. All-including. Inclusive. Darla teaches in inclusion. That means the children that she has, although some of the children that she has are challenged with special needs, they are to be included in everything a regular classroom is doing. Correct? They are to be included. It's inclusive. They are not to be excluded. It cannot, listen, the church cannot be Catholic and reject people because of race, sex, or nationality. That's not part of being the universal church. Because guess what? On the other side of the world, there's an entire black congregation worshiping God the same way that we do. And just because they're black, they shouldn't be excluded. The church is an inclusive place where all are welcome. Everyone is welcome. No one is excluded. Nobody. We need to include. We need to find ways to include. We don't need to find ways to exclude. We got to try to find ways to include. Jesus died for them just as he did for us. I can't say this clear enough. That means when you're talking to a Baptist who has a difference of opinion that you do on doctrine and theology, guess what? If they believe in Jesus Christ and they have been baptized, they have the same DNA that you have, and you are not to exclude yourself from fellowship or relationship with them. You are to include yourself on where the places that you agree rather than focus on the things that you disagree with. Amen. The body of Christ is a mess, and our testimony is tattered and torn in the streets of the world because we cannot find ways to get along because we're too busy pointing out what they do wrong. I'm sorry, I go to preaching now. But you want to get me fired up. That gets me fired up. I am so grateful that our table is open to all baptized believers. I've been in churches where it's not. It breaks my heart. I'm going to tell you a little side story. Didn't mean to get off on it, but it's time to get there. Many years ago, I have a good friend of mine at work. His name is Steve. He's a devoted Roman Catholic. He is a born-again, spirit-filled Roman Catholic. He is a devoted Roman Catholic. He made it for a while. He was going to noon Eucharist three times a week at the church on Atlantic Boulevard right by Bishop Kenny. Ascension, maybe? Assumption. Assumption. I assumed it was Ascension. I was wrong. Well, Steve and I used to have Bible study together every morning, and we'd pray together every morning. And we really connected. He's still a great friend to me. And he still works there. We don't do those things anymore. He kept asking me to come to the noon Eucharist with him. I said, Steve, I would love to go, but I'm not going to be able to receive communion. He goes, but if you met, I forget the father's name now at the time. But anyway, real super nice guy, okay? Goes, if you meet with him, tell him you were Catholic once, you know. And he wanted to share that experience with me. And I did not want to be an offense to their beliefs, okay? I went with Steve for the prayer and for the homily that the guy gave, but when it came time to communion, I just stayed and didn't receive. Well, afterwards, the priest came up to me, sat down, started talking to me. And he goes, I know, he goes, you participated in all the prayers. You seem very familiar with everything, but, you know, you didn't participate in communion. Can I pray for you? You know, he was being a pastor. And I really appreciated that. I said, no, I'm not baptized a Roman Catholic anymore. I was raised Roman Catholic, but I'm not baptized a Roman Catholic anymore. And at this time, I was a deacon. I said, however, I have been ordained in another sacramental liturgical stream. He just looked at me. He goes, well, you could easily come back to Rome. I said, yes, I could, but I really don't want to. I said, but you know what, Father? He goes, well, he goes, I'm really glad that you came. I really like you. I said, he goes, you have any observations for me or anything for me? And I said, yes, sir, I do, as a matter of fact. He opened the door. And now by then, Steve had joined us because he was done. He was the alkalite for the day. I said, isn't it a shame? He goes, what's that? I go, we are one day going to sit together at the marriage supper of the Lamb in heavenly places, and I cannot come to your table here. And he just looked at me. He goes, yes, it is.